And joining us now on the phone from down in Duluth is our friend and, as I mentioned earlier, frequent contributor. I think that's the proper way to phrase it to this program, Sam Cook. How are you, Sam?
Good, Bob. How are you?
I'm really good, and I want to thank you sincerely. I'm sure you wouldn't rather be out in the sun on a beautiful afternoon like this.
There's bad ultraviolet rays out there, Bob. It's better to be inside, don't you think? We're just so lucky.
Actually, I don't.
Yeah, I hear you.
If Buck and I could be doing this show outside, we'd be doing it outside.
I hear you. Well, we're all probably getting out enough. So
right now, Sam, of course, is the are you still the do they still classify you the outdoor editor?
Outdoors writer is
outdoors
my title,
writer.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And for many years, of course, you've covered things outdoors as far as the Northland goes, and what we kind of wanted to talk about was the state shutdown as to how it has impacted outdoor activities. And of course, many of our visitors up here last Friday when they shut it down,
yep,
got kicked out of the state parks or wherever they were. What have you been hearing? I mean, where do you think it's impacting people the most, Sam?
Well, I think probably in a couple ways for the general public. And I think what you said is true. The state parks, a lot of people who would have been in all those state parks camping or visiting are now have to find other places to go. And I saw on your website about people being at the municipal campground in Grand Marais, and they're trying to make room for people with tents there and stuff. So that's one way. The other way probably is fishing licenses. And I've just been doing a little research on that in the last day here and wrote a story for tomorrow's paper about that, so we can talk about whichever order you want there.
Well, let's take the fishing. Buck and I were talking about that earlier too, and of course down at Buck's Hardware and Upscale Funeral Parlor, they also sell fishing licenses. Well, they used to sell fishing licenses up until last Friday.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal in the Northland this time of year, isn't it?
It's huge. I can't remember the exact figure, but I mean it's millions of dollars in license sales, I think.
And just to Buck alone, I think.
To Buck alone, probably personally, and then think what that means for the rest of us too. I talked to one outfit in Duluth here, Marine General Supply, and I said, you know, what are you hearing from people? Are you having trouble? And yeah, you know, people every day from out of state come in and try to buy a license and find out that they can't, and they're kind of stunned at first, and then they always say, and I'm sure, you know, Buck has had this happen at the store as well, and other places in Grand Marais, what should we do? I mean, it might be their only trip to Minnesota for the summer, and it's their whole family's there, and it's like, well, here we come to fish, among other things, and what are we going to do? And and the people who are in the business can't say, well, just go ahead and go fishing, because surely nobody'd write you a ticket for that when you can't buy a license. And then that gets into a whole different deal for the conservation officers whom I've spoken to in the last couple of days as well, and they have kind of general guidelines, and they are not really free to discuss them. They've been asked not to talk to the media.
Oh, is that right?
Which I think is unfortunate, and it almost never occurs in normal situations.
Sure.
The DNR, I can talk to whomever at any local or regional office, and that's over. So it is up to the discretion of the officer, but I think they've been told to ask a bunch of questions and see if they thought the people, you know, should have known to buy a license before the shutdown if they're from Minnesota. And maybe if they're not from Minnesota, there might be more leniency, but I wouldn't promise that. And it's still against the law to fish without a license.
Yeah, exactly, so. Exactly. And I'm one of those that you could put in the category of, well, I knew there was a possibility of a state shutdown. I should have bought my fishing license. I didn't.
Yeah.
Somehow that doesn't mollify my ire at these people.
No, I know. If you want to buy a fishing license and you can't, it's still a big pain, and it is for a number of people, I'm sure, who, you know, maybe have people coming up to visit, and they were waiting to buy a license when everybody got here or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
there's just a lot of situations.
I had a friend who had that exact situation that you're talking about. He and his wife own some property up here, and they come up fairly frequently, but they had family come up for the week. The son-in-law wanted to take the grandson fishing, you know, they're from Wisconsin, no yeah. license.
Yeah.
And so he asked my friend, what should I do? And he said, I can't tell you what to do. He said, I can tell you that it's against the law to fish without a license. And they went anyway. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what's happening. I'm sure some people are going anyway, and some people are saying, well, I would just rather not risk it. And I've talked to resorts, you know, I talked to Sherry Baker up at Gunflint Pines and uh-huh. other resorters in the Ely area and outfitters, and most of them were able to notify their customers who had reservations in time and before the shutdown, and the people were able to buy licenses online before they came up.
Sure.
So most of them are okay, but I don't know how far out that goes. I think somebody told me that they only notified people who had reservations through the middle of July, and so if it lasts longer than that, then what?
And then what happens, yeah.
Well, another interesting situation. I talked to one of the charter captains at the Duluth Harbor today, mm-hmm. who takes people fishing out in Lake Superior, and I said, well, how's that affecting you guys? Because some of their business is walk-up stuff where people just want to,
sure.
they're in town and they want to go out. And he said, well, we're the only people who can write paper licenses for one-day fishing license.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So he said, we're okay, but we're going to run out of licenses because most of us didn't have enough. And so it'll eventually affect them too. And then that's, you know, if you have to turn away business in the heart of summer, in a short season anyway.
That's, exactly. That's pretty tough. And one of the things that I don't understand, I guess I should have asked Buck about this offline, but, you know, most of the places that sell licenses now, it's all electronic.
Well, yeah.
There's nobody sitting at the other end taking this information.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't understand why they still couldn't be able to sell them.
Well, yeah, and that's under the category of probably the devil's in the details, and most yeah. things are more complicated than we want to admit, but I'm sure there would have to be people who stay on duty to monitor that ELS system, the electronic licensing system, to make sure that it's up and running and that every computer thing has glitches, as we all know, and I'm sure there are people who would have to be there to override those things. You know, maybe that's why. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect it.
I've heard have many people say, I don't know why they just couldn't keep it open. It's electronic. Well, somebody's
got to be there.
And they shut down all the DNR computers. So anyway, yeah, it's a mess.
And excuse me,
I just fill you in on that. They contract out the actual system.
Okay.
So there's, I think that they're not even in state, the people that run the software.
Yeah, somebody told me it was in Tennessee or something.
Yeah, that sounds right. Mm. However, if there's any questions
right.
or a problem,
sure.
yeah.
and then you have to call the DNR, then
yeah.
there's nobody there.
Right,
right,
right.
So it'd probably be impractical in some way that we don't even understand for sure.
I mean, I know that they're already having the discussion about, well, who's essential and who isn't. And I suppose if you really want to go fishing, there's somebody on the other end of that line, doggone it, they were more essential than somebody else, but
yeah,
that's your own personal
somebody has to make that decision, and apparently it's not essential
now
fish.
Are most or all of the conservation officers working, Sam?
They aren't doing all their normal duties. I talked to one earlier this week before they got the word they shouldn't talk to me, and he said that they're now on shifts. At least he is on a shift, a daily shift, where they're working daytime or evening or whatever. And a big part of their duty now is not just checking fish and game and ATV and stuff, but they have to protect, like, state park buildings. Asset protection, I believe they call it.
Okay.
So they're going around checking to make sure doors are locked and things, and you know, there have been a couple incidents in state parks where there was a break-in down at Afton, I think, and some stuff was stolen or something. So, you know, that's what part of their duties are now.
We're visiting with Sam Cook, outdoors writer for the Duluth News Tribune, talking a little bit about the effects of the state shutdown. Well, I'm assuming, you know, even though that the state parks are closed down, I know I've gone by some waysides, for instance, where people have simply parked outside the gates and gone in the wayside, even though the buildings were locked and maybe had a picnic or something. I'm assuming that perhaps the same thing is happening at the campgrounds, where some people are just, the heck with it, we'll park on the road and carry our stuff in and go in and camp.
That may be limited by the amount of stuff people want to carry.
that's true.
One of our reporters and photographers went up to Gooseberry on Monday or Tuesday this week, and And they walked around throughout the campground, and nobody was camped there at all. And although people have been coming in from the highway and just walking down to the falls and playing around or walking down to the mouth of the river, and as I understand it, they're not being kicked out of the park, but I know it causes potential problems with traffic on Highway 61 and people going back and forth across the road. It's probably not the best situation. It shows how badly, I guess, people want to be at a park or see someplace that they may not be able to see any other time of year.
Well, and I think that for so many people, you know, if you work where you need to schedule, as most people do, where you need to schedule your vacations.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these people just aren't weekend visitors. They've scheduled their vacation. They're going to camp. They're going to do this. They're going to do that.
Yeah.
They've got the time off.
They got the time off at work.
What are they going to do?
Right.
You know,
when Jay Cook was closing down last Friday or Thursday afternoon, people were being asked to leave by 4 o'clock, and I went out there and went around with the park manager as she told people that they had to leave soon, and most of them were aware of it and knew about it and were getting ready. And but you know, this one family, three young girls, and the kids didn't understand why they had to leave, and they said, well, I said, what are you going to do? And they said, well, we're probably going to go to Duluth and get a hotel room or something. You know, we've got the time. We aren't going home.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want to go home. And here's just the greatest story I heard that day. This one family was breaking camp, and they had a little girl who was 4 and another one who was 5, and the 4-year-old asked the park manager, well, why do we have to leave? And the park manager said, well, the park has to close because we don't have enough money. And the little girl said, well, I have some money. I can give you some money. And I thought, oh, what a stark contrast that is to whatever may be happening in
St. Paul.
In St. Paul.
Isn't that the truth?
Here, it was just kind of a dramatic.
I've got some money. I'll be happy to give it to you.
Right.
Just keep it where the others are down there.
Yeah, yeah. So she didn't say anything about taxes or anything, so...
Or mean words or anything like
that.
I know that at some of the places, you know, that we might even think about, I think there's some work going on at places like Agate Bay and Two Harbors.
Yep.
And the McQuaid Small Craft Harbor and so forth. Is all of that stuff on hold too?
I think most of that is shut down. I think all of that is shut down. And somebody at work mentioned that there's some project on some bridge someplace, and I don't even know that that's a state project, but they can't go ahead with it because they can't get a DNR hydrologist to come out and do some inspection or, you know, check on something with the water that needs to be checked.
Oh, sure.
And unless they get those permits or get those okays, then they can't proceed on that.
Yep.
There was one of the, you know, fiberboard operations in Duluth. There was some question about their surface water permit had expired, and I don't know anything about how they use surface water or whatever, but they didn't know whether they could keep operating or should keep operating without that DNR permit. So, and that would not be, that's not going to happen. So there are a lot of things I think that we don't think of. But yeah, all those DNR-related projects, and I'm sure all those, you know, Minnesota Conservation Crew, now it's called Conservation Minnesota or something. They were working on, I'm sure, DNR projects, and I heard someone call into public radio last week and say that they're doing work for the DNR for the summer and as interns, and they're out of luck. And,
yep.
And that was their summer job, you know.
Sure.
So
sure.
I'm sure there are a lot of ways that don't meet the eye that we're not aware of, but it's far-reaching.
I was just the exact words I was going to use. I mean, I think we understand and know about those things which perhaps are close to us or depending on where you live, impacting the economy there. But I'm sure it goes way beyond that in so many ways across the state.
And
do you hear, and I'm not thinking that you should, but obviously as part of the media, anything different than what anybody else hears, and that this thing is still just badly stalemated and nobody sees very much possibility of progress in the near term?
Yeah, that's all I know is what I hear or read or see and in the media, so I don't know anything else. And it's when everything is tied to getting reelected, and when getting reelected is tied to promises you made, and when not all those promises can be kept, then you've got a problem.
Yeah, and that's for sure.
I you know, you can look at the bigger picture and say, how did we get to this point, or how did it get this bad, or whatever. But it goes back pretty much, I am sure, to the fact that kids don't play baseball on school grounds in the summer anymore, like we did as kids, you know, when the world was the way it should have been. And if somebody had a close play at second or first, you argued about it. But if you didn't settle the argument, you couldn't keep playing. And so I think now the sports have gotten so organized, and they're only referees now, that if nobody tells you what the answer is, you can't work it out on your own. I may be wrong about that, but that's my theory.
Well, it makes sense.
It does make sense. Yeah. And I was just going to say, don't get me going on stuff like that.
Yeah, because... I know. And I don't want to sound, I know I sound like an old curmudgeon or whatever, but I don't know. We've certainly come to a place in this country and where getting along is a lot different than it used to be, I guess.
Yeah, compromise is not, it doesn't seem to me to be a word that's very much in vogue anymore.
And I think when most of us say compromise, we mean the other side should compromise.
Well, sure.
You know, but we all have our biases or
absolutely.
Whatever, but it's like, pretty soon it's like, well,
do you want to keep playing baseball or not?
Yeah.
Exactly game, right. We got
to keep this game is a lot more important than what we used to play.
You know? And that's right. And in boiling it down real simply, just like you did, you know, fine, you and I can argue about whether I was safe or not.
Yeah.
But if we want to keep playing ball,
right,
one of us is going to have to say, okay.
Yeah. And right. There was always the jerk who wanted to just take his ball and go home, you know. Well,
yeah.
we didn't invite him to play anymore, you know.
Yeah, and that's why we always brought an extra ball.
That's right. So, I don't know. I haven't written that. I'm only willing to tell you guys that.
Well, it's probably a good one to write. Going in a little different direction, got any interesting fishing trips or hunting trips planned or anything?
No, I don't have anything big. I always feel guilty if I don't have something really cool lined up. But, I mean, we're going to go up to the canoe country. We're just hopelessly mired in going back up there because we love it. And Phyllis and I, my wife and I, were talking about it. I said, you know, we should break this habit. We should go out to Wyoming and backpack in the Wind River Range. And so we started looking into that and thinking about it. And about 24 hours later, I said, hon, I don't know if I can do that. It's pretty enough country and stuff, but all I'd want to do is get to the lakes and where, you know, it's prettier and
mm-hmm.
and I just don't want to be away from the water. Yeah. I love too much about, and I don't know that I want to carry on my back everything that I'm now carrying in my canoe and
right.
So I don't know. We're going back to Quetico for another trip.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I had a great trip in mid June with some guys from here. We went up, and that country up there is so full of fish, and it is just amazing. We just had tremendous fishing,
great.
With no real bait, you know.
Yeah. That's great. Yep. We've been visiting with Sam Cook, who is the outdoors writer for the Duluth News Tribune. And as always, Sam, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. It's always really fun to talk to you and get your perspective on things. And just really appreciate your stopping by the Roadhouse tonight.
Hey, great to talk to you. And I'll try to get up that way again soon.
Sounds good.